During a show last week that we dedicated to garbage and the growing problem of waste around the world, I talked with a few people who are using trash in creative ways. As landfills continue to grow around the world, a group in Philadelphia has been encouraging artists to draw inspiration from the things the rest of us throw away by hosting artist residencies in a waste recycling facility. Billy Dufala, an artist and teacher, is one of the founders of RARE, Philadelphia's Recycle Artists in Residency. And Brian Zanesnik was one of the residents last year, and I'm very pleased that both of them can join us today on our show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Billy, where in Philadelphia is RARE located?
It's in Tacony. It's in the northeast. It's about 8 miles outside of Center City, so it's right on 95.
Can you describe it?
It's kind of a manufacturing corridor. It's a part where 95 separates the more it separates the neighborhood. So it's a lot of like post-industrial, you know, brownfield, and it's a lot of tractor trailers and dumpsters moving trash, stuff like that.
And it's all recycled stuff. What kinds of things are recycled?
It's the Revolution Recovery, the actual recycling center, is construction, demolition, and manufacturing waste. So that's what – it's not stinky municipal waste. It's not the stuff that goes to, waste management. It's actually
– It's not rotting vegetables.
No putrescence, actually. It doesn't smell there. It's actually considered clean waste.
Brian, how did you first hear about this program?
Well, I was approached by a curator at the Institute of Contemporary Art in Philadelphia, and she wanted to do a project with me. And she – when we had our first meeting, she said, you know, there's this great – amazing landfill. I'm sorry, recycling center. I know not to call it a landfill. There's this amazing recycling center, and I really think it would be interesting for you to do a project there. Could I pair you with them? So,
had you been repurposing objects in your art?
I have. You know, actually, a lot of my work began by going into my parents' basement and garage in New Jersey and kind of helping them empty out these past materials by bringing them into my work and bringing them into galleries. So I kind of had been dealing with these ideas, but this was the first time someone actually had approached me and said, do you want to work in a recycling center?
Well, of course, artists have been using waste for at least a century. Picasso, yeah. Braque, Schwitters, yeah. Duchamp. Sculptors have repurposed junk in their work. Is this any different than that? Is that part of that tradition?
You know, I think it's part of the tradition. I mean, for me personally in my work, I have a collaborative practice with my brother called the Dufala Brothers, and we use a lot of reclaimed material. So what really had me arriving at the recycling center in the first place was more economic rather than like a sustainability issue initiative or anything like that. But I think that it's the idea that this is not visible to the public at large. Like, this is – the waste industry is pretty closed door. Typically, it's impossible or very difficult to gain access to these materials. So being able to have this opportunity to share with artists and grow that as, like, as a possibility for expanding outward, there's a lot of potential in it. But that – as far as exposing it and being able to make it visible to the public through art.
Did having this access affect the art that you were making, Brian?
Very much so, because as Billy was saying, you know, and as you were saying before, there's this long history of artists dealing with recycled and found materials, but the place in which they're sourced is usually behind the scenes. It's invisible. And what was so fascinating for me about RARE was it wasn't just a place to source materials. It was actually a place in which the work was being constructed, viewed, I mean, I made a film there, being filmed there. So, for someone like Picasso, Duchamp, you never really see where these materials come from. Mm-hmm. This is kind of all about the site itself.
Mm-hmm. And then do you exhibit there?
I know that, and Billy could probably speak to this better, some artists have, but what I did is I began building this installation in the kind of main courtyard of the landfill, and I only could build and construct on weekends because during the week it's an active recycling.
It's a crazy place. It's hard. It's hard for artists to actually
work the trucks.
Yeah. It's safety first. You know what I mean? So
it would kind of became this absurd experience where, you know, I'd come Friday night. I would build Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. When I was at the point of Sunday night, I would photograph everything, take extensive notes, take everything apart, put it in a storage area, and then come back the following Friday and kind of pick up where I left off. So it kind of in stages was being built, mm-hmm. taken apart, built, and then once it was finally done, I used it to shoot a film. So it was really an installation but also a set.
Would you have taken it out under certain circumstances and brought it to a gallery?
You know, I thought about that.
I wouldn't have helped you with that one, Brian.
Well, how big was this thing?
It was pretty massive.
It was built out of probably 40 or 50 of these large cubicle walls from a demolished hospital, mm-hmm. and then each kind of four cubicles built a room which had material. So it was quite large. But for me, I thought about this. I thought about actually bringing the materials to the Institute of Contemporary Art, but I found that less interesting because the history of the recycling center, the site itself, is then removed from it.
But it's been disassembled again, mm-hmm. hasn't it? It's not sitting there in the...
Oh, it got recycled.
Yeah.
It got recycled.
It goes back into the recycling stream after.
Billy, what happened? How did the owners of the facility react when you said that you wanted to bring artists in?
They were amazingly... I still don't actually know how this happened, but they were incredibly supportive, and without their support, this would not be happening today. I think they kind of thought I was crazy at first, but they informally had been – when they started, they were smaller. They were on a different in a different location when they first started, and they would informally source like lumber to furniture makers. But once when their company was growing, it got too big, and they were too busy to actually do that. So they kind of looked at me and my friend Fern, who co-founded the program with me, as a way to take responsibility for that, like being able to facilitate for artists.
It also doesn't hurt to get that kind of publicity.
No. It's great for them in a lot of ways. Also, like for marketing, we also paint their dumpsters, and none of their competitors actually have no leg up like they do.
And one year, I believe you made a giant Santa Claus out of trash, which
yes,
was pretty cool.
That too.
My guests are Billy DeFalla, who is one of the founders of RARE, Philadelphia's Recycled Artists in Residency, and Brian Zanisnik, who was one of its residents last year. How long did the residency last?
I think I was there for about 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it was...
Is that typical?
Yeah. I mean, it's the project that Brian had worked on, we call them Biggie Shorties. It's like a big project in a shorter period of time, not a very like months-long residency, where the idea is that you want to work towards a document rather than a finished piece. And this changes every single time. And as we grow bigger and we have more experience, that continues to change. But that's kind of the idea. So it's typical, but it's likely to change.
Would you have liked more time?
I mean, I'd love to go back. It's one of the things that I've thought about. So
anytime, man.
Oh, I thought Billy was shaking his head no, but he's nodding in approval. But for that project, I like the kind of pressure and the restraint of time. And I had another restraint, which was the show at the Institute of Contemporary Art had to open, so I kind of was working against another deadline regardless. Mm-hmm.
But you were documenting this. Did that wind up in that show?
It did. It was a film. It was a two-projection film, and that was in the show. So it's a document, but I also think of it, it's the sort of work onto itself. The actual installation has been recycled, so really what remains is this film.
Yeah.
What kinds of things have other artists done?
I think like when we first started, it was the idea of not having a studio and having to work in the yard after hours with whatever we had available. An artist has made giant sails and flown them like 60 foot wide by like 75 foot long sails, flown them in the yard. You can't see my hands, radio listeners, but like a big undulating waveform.
Filmed that, I assume.
Yeah, and have done pictures. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's so many, I can't even. There's also the studio program where people will work on a smaller body of work that will leave the premises, and it's like they can exhibit that. One of the things that I did when I first showed up, because I didn't really know how to get started, there was no studio, there were no tools, I had nobody to show me the way, I asked them if I could make their Christmas card. And that was actually the impetus to this style of working was, over the weekend, I took one of their excavators and I turned it into a giant Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, kind of like the claymation style looking one. And then on Monday, I came in, I took pictures of it, drove it around their facility, and they went nuts.
I can only imagine what Kurtz-Fitters would have thought if he'd gotten a residency there. Brian, before you came to RARE, didn't you also work on projects in the New Jersey Meadowlands?
I did, and that's something that I think really kind of led into a lot of the work and research I was doing at RARE. I've always been really fascinated with the Meadowlands because it's this sort of surreal landscape that's somewhere between and being a natural environment, incredibly polluted, but it's sort of kind of, I think of it as touched but untouched.
Well, when you say the Meadowlands are polluted, are you talking about the Giants and the Jets, or are you talking about something else?
Well, that could be part of it, but I'm talking about this sort of, it's a 32 square mile swamp that anyone living in New Jersey knows, and even for people in New York, if you take a train right out of the city, you go through this area. And I've always been fascinated with it because it's roughly the same square mileage as Manhattan. So it kind of becomes this inversion or mirror. It's that large. So it sort of becomes this kind of mirror to, you have this city that's incredibly populated, incredibly productive, and then you have a 32 square mile of wastelands, trash, and some nature, or actually some amazing nature.
So you are repurposing the trash there?
Yeah, it began.
But you could exhibit that. You can't exhibit in this facility that Billy has provided for you.
Well, not really. And as for the Meadowlands, I don't know if I could formally exhibit what I find there because most of it was glowing with radiation. I was really interested. My fascination with the Meadowlands actually began in 2002, and I had ordered these satellite maps, and this is pre-Google Maps, and the landscape, even though it's so large, there was really no maps of it. If you bought a map of New Jersey, they wouldn't show you that there's these old train lines, freight lines, pathways in the Meadowlands. So I began exploring it just out of curiosity, and then I became really interested in the history of the objects dumped there.
This is an odd form of archaeology, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as Brian was saying earlier, when he, you'd refer to your parents, like stuff from their, more or less their collection, as source material. It's funny because the trash that comes through, now it's construction and demolition waste, but at the same time, there's a lot of clean out. And oftentimes, if somebody passes away, their entire life might show up in the trash, and you can see that. And you might be rooting through correspondence from, World War II. You might be rooting through the late doctor's correspondence with it can feel like grave digging.
Well, as a witness to all the different artists who come in doing residences, are you surprised by what things they choose to work with?
It's a lot of times it is those really charged personal materials that have such a history and such a story. And then what really surprises me when people use the actual facility and what the facility may make. I think one of the other projects that we did as part of the ICA exhibit that Brian was involved in was a project called Shredfest. It was basically the artist Mary Ellen Carroll turned it was a collaboration, me and her worked on it, where we used the bales of metal, the 1,800-pound bales of metal that they sort and separate. That's like what the recycling center actually creates. That's their revenue. And we made a stage out of it and had a metal fest there.
In your case, Brian, you did a kind of a Dilbert piece, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, one of the things that was kind of really interesting, and Billy is speaking to this just before, is these kind of histories of materials or objects. We found probably several hundred miniature liquor bottles, the kind you used to get on airplane flights, and just kind of the narratives or imaginative stories that I would associate with the person who had disposed of these kind of becomes a part of the work. And I think, listening to Billy speak now and even thinking about my own work, I feel like there's something particularly American in this kind of reclaiming and reusing materials. And this relates to my Meadowlands project, because I think historically we think of America as this kind of expanding west, like this kind of Lewis and Clark sensibility. And now that there's been so much we've gone as far west as we can, I feel like this is sort of a moment where we're revisiting east, revisiting the materials that are back at the origins of America.
We have very little time left, but where are you going for your source materials now? You can't go to an art supply store and say, give me some junk.
Right. Well, I just got back from doing a project in The Hague in the Netherlands. But there, there's so much less waste than the U.S.
Of course.
I had less to work with.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Brian Zanesnik, who did a residency at Rare Philadelphia's Recycled Artists in Residency, and Billy Dufala, who is an artist and one of the founders of that project. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.